as I started golfing more and started looking for equipment, the options didn't make sense for someone like me. I didn't want to buy a starter set because I'd golfed for a long time, but I also didn't want to spend $3,000. And I also didn't understand all the complex intricacies to go buy used and even know what's what. So the whole thing was kind of a crazy world for me trying to upgrade after playing for 20 years. So that was kind of the original market we were trying to reach. But we found all types, as you'll see. They're great for beginners, they're great for casual, and they're actually great for lower handicap players.
Golf Smarter number 813 is brought to you by CalderaLab.com/GolfSmarter. Golf Smarter listeners receive 20% discount with a coupon code GolfSmarter. So go to CalderaLab.com/GolfSmarter or use the code GolfSmarter. Stix Golf Clubs delivers style, performance, and results at an unbelievable price with GabeCoin.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing stories, tips, and insights from great golf minds to help you lower your score and raise your golf IQ. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome back to the Golf Smarter podcast, Gabe.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me again.
Of course. I needed to talk to you. I'll get right to it because I teased it at the end of last week's episode. But I went out on Monday and played with my buddy who he and I have been playing golf for years together. And we're really, really evenly matched. It's like crazy how, you know, we can always know that just without even looking at the scorecard going into this 18th hole that we're probably tied or very close to it. And so he likes this little game that he plays where we have three different games going. And we don't play for anything other than a pat on the back, a hug, and some trash talking. That's really all we ever play for. But he has this game he likes to do, which is we play match play, stroke play, and fewest number of putts. Huh. So I said, all right, let's do that this week. But I'm going to throw a kink in the whole thing. We're going to keep it to 7 clubs. And he's like, ooh, that's an interesting way to go. And I said, and I'm not giving you those 3 strokes that you usually get because I'm going to be playing today with clubs I've never played with. So you're going to have to, you know, be friendly about this because you guys sent me 5 clubs, right? You sent me a 3-wood, a 6-iron, an 8-iron, a 52-degree, and a 60-degree wedge. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to just throw in my 4-hybrid right there so I can go in between the 3-wood and that 6-iron and see what I can do. And let's see what happens. He's like, well, first of all, those are really good-looking clubs. He liked them a lot. And I got to give you a lot of props. Yeah, I got to give you a lot of props on me. And the Stix golf clubs are really good-looking clubs. It's the kind of thing that I think you're shooting for is people who don't want to spend a fortune, but have a decent look, a decent looking set of clubs in your, you know, in your bag. So,
yeah, they tend to get attention.
Yeah, yeah, they really do. And the logo's cool. Anyway, so after 9 holes, he was hitting putts like he couldn't believe how he was hitting like multiple putts from over 10 feet, one putting or for par. So at the end of 9 holes, he had me 3-1 on match play. He was up by 2 strokes. And on the putting, he was up by 1 stroke. But neither of us were playing that bad. I mean, he had a 42, I had a 44 and a par 36 in the front nine. And I was really, really impressed that even though he was hitting driver, I was hitting my 3-wood, and I was either keeping up or passing him.
Oh, and, yeah, that 3-wood is sweet.
Oh, my goodness. I've been playing a Callaway X-Hot for years, and recently, I'm still like my driver, but my 3-wood has been annoyed with me for some reason, and not, I've been, you know, pull hooking. I've just not been hitting that club as well as I've been hitting my other clubs. I don't know what it was. But now I'm hitting this Stix 3-wood, and I'm crushing the ball, and it's going right where my target line is. I was just amazed at it. I'm going to talk about myself in this round for a while. So now I'm like, okay, I gotta tighten things up here. And we come on to number 10. He birdies number 10 and I double bogey. Because my ball went right and I ended up and I double bogey the hole. And so then he had a couple three putts. We get to the 18th hole and we both had a feeling it was pretty close. It's a par five. I birdied it with a 30-foot downhill putt, and he had a three-putt bogey. And our final totals were match play 5-5, stroke play 83-83. He had 33 putts. I had 30. I win!
Hey-o!
Hey-o! But I do want to say there were times that I had to pull out a sticks club, like the 8-iron. We're on a par three. Hello, puppy. There's a par three. You want to be on the podcast, don't you, big fella? Par three, 110 yards into the wind. I would usually hit a wedge, right? But not the 52 degree. It wasn't long enough. My 8-iron is all I had left. So I choked down on it, took a half a swing, 3 feet from the pin. There were a couple shots that I had to make adjustments to, but these clubs performed so well. I was so impressed.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah. And then the other thing I want to brag about is the sound of the 3-wood. The sound, there's some clubs I don't like just because I don't like the sound of it.
Yeah.
This thing sounded great, and you know when you hit it well. So congratulations, Gabe. You got a great product.
Well, glad to hear it, Fred. You know, this whole thing started as an experiment, and we sell these things without people touching them, right? So, yeah. But once people see them, touch them, play with them, people are rarely disappointed. So it's great to hear another story of, I'm taking a leap. I'm taking a risk. Swapping out your golf clubs is kind of a big deal. It's a big expense. And so you're taking a risk when you do it. But these things are pretty. They feel good. They play good. And they make you feel great on the course. So glad to hear another story like that.
Yeah. And are they available? Because the reason I had five clubs is because the first time that we talked, you were having some, as everybody was, some supply chain issues. And it was hard getting clubs. I even recommended a friend of mine wanted to buy clubs for his mid-30s son. And he was like, I said, don't buy him used clubs. That's not cool. And so he looked into sticks, but it was going to be a couple months before he was able to get them. So...
Yeah.
Do you have that stuff? Is it resolved? Are we available?
We have some things. It's supply chain still a moving target, but we've gotten ahead for a period here. We do, looks like we've got right regular stiff, right regular standard. Sorry, right-handed standard height in regular and stiff flex on hand right now. We've also got a few lefties, a few righties, but primarily what we have in stock is the right standard stiff and regular flex.
And when you say the supply chain's a moving target, you just never know what you're going to have. And
yeah, there's always something, right? Port of LA is backed up, even airports are having a hard time moving freight out of there. You can find articles about this stuff. There's power issues overseas. There's all kinds of stuff going on. So we're trying to get better at under-promising and over-delivering because we've made promises and then things have been a moving target. So we're trying to be as transparent as we can and we're trying to not over-promise. So when stuff's in stock, get it. Because that's the best case scenario. Best case scenario is we have it. That means we can ship it to you. Anytime it's not quite here yet, there can be quite a few snags that can hit.
Yeah. But The good thing is you have clubs for right-handed and left-handed golfers.
We do. Not on hand at the moment, but we will. Looks like roughly end of September have more lefties coming in.
Great. I apologize for dominating the first part of this segment, but I want to take a time out. We're going to come back and I want to hear more about each of the clubs and the various sets that you have available. We'll be back after this. I'm really happy to welcome back Caldera Lab, makers of the good, as our sponsor of today's episode. And actually, they're going to be with us for the rest of 2021. Now, usually, podcast sponsors return because of the metrics, right? That includes sales and excellent engagement from the audience. But to be honest about this one, they've returned because of my own personal testimonial. Here's the story. I received a 1 ounce bottle of The Good and started using it every night at bedtime back in May of this year. Now, just out of curiosity, I took a selfie on the first night after I used it. Then once I completed the bottle in August, using it each night, I took another selfie and I looked great. I honestly couldn't believe how much healthier my skin looked and how obvious it was, not just in the photo, but to my wife. So my guess is that like most guys, the only product I ever used on my face other than soap was aftershave. Of course, playing golf a couple times each week, I also used sunscreen and wore a big brim hat. But I thought, being 66 years old, that my face was supposed to look dry and crusty. But in just 3 months of applying this rich serum after washing my face each night, I was transformed. Interestingly, even though their sponsorship was completed, I just went ahead and purchased my own subscription to get a new 1 ounce bottle of The Good every 3 months. So, if you'd like to see the before and after photos, well, not completely after yet, as I'm still using it each night. But if you'd like to see these photos I'm talking about, then go to calderalab.com/golfsmarter and see for yourself. They've actually created a webpage for it. And while you're there, take advantage of the 20% discount they're offering Golf Smarter listeners with the coupon code GOLFSMARTER. Again, go to calderalab.com/golfsmarter or use the code Golf Smarter. That's calderalab.com/golfsmarter for 20% off. It worked for me. I'm sure your skin will look healthier too. So Gabe, you're about your 1 year anniversary of launching, or where are you now?
Yeah, we just passed it September 1st. It was a year ago, September 1st, that we took the leap and turned on sales, and we hoped and dreamed to sell a set a day for a quarter and sold out in 2 weeks. So ever since then, we've been chasing our tails to try to keep up with things. Wow. September 1st this year, you know, we're putting hundreds of sets on a truck in a day. Compared to when it started a year ago. So things have come quite a long way and it's been a fun ride.
Yeah. And it's like, you be careful what you wish for, but it's a wonderful thing to be able to have people react to it. And you're getting positive feedback, I'm assuming.
We're getting great feedback on the clubs, the design, the performance. And, you know, it's always a mixed bag. People aren't happy when you overpromise and underdeliver, and we've tried to fix those problems of saying, here's the date, we can get it to you, and then all kinds of things happen, and we do our best to try to be transparent and let people know what's going on. You can see it on our social media and different things. But as of maybe a month ago, we started seriously shipping some product on a lot of back orders, and so the tone of things has really started to have an upbeat of people being very excited to get their clubs, and that's something my team really needed. And my team is much happier to be getting that feedback than where's my clubs, where's my clubs, where's my clubs, which was flattering that people were so excited for their clubs they couldn't wait and they kept pressing us, but also just a challenging situation to try to manage those expectations in a volatile world of supply chain.
And where are your clubs manufactured?
Same place most golf clubs are manufactured. China
overseas
does
China.
The biggest percentage of golf club manufacturing. Many companies will order components and assemble stateside, but primarily casting, forging, golf club work is done overseas.
And talk about a moving target. Who do you consider to be your target audience?
Yeah, that is a moving target over the last year. You know, we set out to reach the casual golfer because that's who we were. We were people who had golfed for decades, never taken it too seriously, never had a fitting, never took lessons, just golfed for fun with what I had. And, you know, eventually, as I started golfing more and started looking for equipment, the options didn't make sense for someone like me because I didn't want to buy a starter set because I had golfed for a long time, but I also didn't want to spend $3,000. And I also didn't understand all the complex intricacies to go buy used and even know what's what. So the whole thing was kind of a crazy world for me trying to upgrade after playing for 20 years. So that was kind of the original market we were trying to reach. But we found all types, as you'll see. They're great for beginners. They're great for casual. And they're actually great for lower handicap players. They're not for pros. They're not blades. They're not good enough to be on tour necessarily. Mostly that's because blades and workability is the primary reason. And then it would probably be, if you're going to go to the next level of performance, it would be probably a shaft, a more high quality shaft, which people can do with sticks. You can buy sticks, swap out the shafts and have like, you know, kind of the 95th percentile level of quality that you need to play at the highest level. We're not forged where some of the higher end stuff is. So, but I think for 80% of golfers, we're really finding if I can get the right height and flex and it looks great and performs well at a price that is reasonable, like I'm in. That tends to be the audience we found. So strangely enough, our first customers was a 17-year-old kid, 18-year-old kid, and a 70-year-old man. So as we aimed for kind of this like maybe 30 to 40-year-old casual golfer, we ended up with teenagers and seniors as our first customer. So immediately it was like, okay, these actually appealed to a very broad audience. And as we've evolved the product, we've tried to listen to feedback and discover who that audience is and give them what they want. So when we started, we had a 12-piece set for $599, and user feedback said, hey, I want a full set. You give me 12 clubs, I need a gap and a lob. So can you just make the whole set? And people also said, I want a bag, I want head covers, I just want to buy it all with sticks. And so over the last year, as we've evolved the product, we now offer a 14-piece full set with bag and head covers. And it's gotten more expensive because we're giving people more, but that's still our most popular product is give me everything for under $1,000. Seems to be the sweet spot.
Which is mind blowing that you can do that for under $1,000, because if somebody, you know, we can't even talk about blades because that is such a limited audience of golfer, you know. What is it? 80% of golfers never even break 100. So what do we don't even need to be talking about blades. And I tried playing blades for a little while and I actually tried it for a year and my index just went straight up. It was really deadly. I need forgiving golf clubs. I need game improvement clubs that I'm feeling more comfortable at. But looking down on them, on these clubs, they just look right.
With V2, we changed the finish to more of a matte finish. It's gorgeous. We changed the profile a bit to feel a little less game improvement, a little less of a deep cavity. I think they look and feel great.
Yeah. But did you talk about the design of these clubs from a golf club designer, not a graphic designer, you know, just the look, but the quality, not the materials we're talking about, but the quality of the heads and what's striking the ball. How did you get to that place?
Well, when we went to build our product, we were trying to figure out, well, what is the difference between a starter set and a $5,000 set? Like, what's really the difference besides just what's the word we always use? Just like brand status. Beyond brand status, what's actually the difference I'm looking at here? And when it comes to heads, it's the material. You have certain types of stainless steel. Well, and some clubs will not use stainless steel. You can go down to aluminum and zinc, and that's when it gets real cheap. But if you're going to use stainless steel on your irons, there's high quality stainless steel, and there's low quality stainless steel, and there's soft stainless steel and hard stainless steel. So we did the research and said, okay, can we get the good stuff and still deliver a product at this price point? And we were able to do that. So we found the ideal type of steel to use in our irons and wedges. You also look at casting and forged, what's better and why, and what costs more and why, and what do we want to deliver to our customers? And so we do a cast cavity back stainless steel iron and wedges. We mill the faces of our wedges. So like we figured out all the things that we would find valuable in a club, and we did those things and skipped all the hype and what we consider the hype and the nonsense, right? Do I need a bunch of sliding adjustments and weights I can take out and swap out? Because I've never done that. I wouldn't know what to do. So we're like, let's just skip that business, because 90% of our audience is probably just going to buy it and use it and not mess with that thing. So why would we charge them more for it or even bother with the investment to put it in the first place? So we aim for forgiveness, style, feel, quality products.
And you're delivering. I'm seriously considering pulling that that three wood, my old Callaway three wood, out of my bag and putting the sticks in. But I can't wait to get a feel of the full set, because I play ping irons, and the way just these four, the two irons and two wedges performed on a test basis, but in competition, I'm like all in, buddy.
And what's the shaft difference for you on the ping versus the sticks?
Well, I have a metal shaft, regular flex metal shaft.
Okay.
Steel shaft. Is it steel shaft?
Steel.
On the pings. Yeah. The ping yellow dot.
Yeah. So that's the other thing we did, is we said, you know, let's try to kind of pull back the curtain on all this stuff. Right. And typically when you go to buy graphite shafts, they're the more expensive shafts. You go to buy black clubs, they're the more expensive clubs. So we tried to kind of intentionally say, hey, how about we deliver a black set with graphite shafts at a great price point? And try to deliver what is the perceived value. Well, try to deliver actual value, not just a perceived value of like, look, we got a bunch of noisy lines and weights all over the place and lightning bolts down the shaft, so we must be awesome. We were like, no, let's just keep it quiet and just deliver true value. So some people like graphite, some people don't, but I do, you know, the feedback we've gotten is graphite is fantastic. Even Rick Shields had said in his videos, he's a graphite shaft player, and they're great to walk with. I don't know if you were in a cart or a push cart, but man, the graphite shafts make it a lot lighter for a carry round, which is what I like to do. I picked up a buddy's bag that had steel in it. I was like, good Lord, because you have a kettlebell in the bottom of this thing. So the graphite shafts are great, and you know, you used them, and, I don't know how much you were thinking about the feel off the face or the weight distribution, the kick point or whatever, but these graphite shafts deliver.
Yeah. I want to take another time out and we'll talk more about graphite versus the competition and my feelings on that after this. Week or so ago, I got a chance to play with my club maker or my club fitter guy who works at a local retailer, but he was in business for himself for 15 years and, you know, as a custom club maker. And he's like one of the nerdiest which I love about him. He's one of the nerdiest, geekiest club guys I've ever met in my life. And I was telling him about this, and he was vastly intrigued. And when I was telling him about, I was trying to figure out which shaft to go with on my sticks. He said, well, if they're graphite and you play regular flex on your ping, you should probably go with stiff flex. You'll probably be a lot happier with that. So I thought that was really interesting.
We did a team fitting at one of our company offsites, and it was interesting because I had never done one. And a lot of people on the team, our team is not built of a bunch of serious golfers, right? Our team is built of a bunch of casual golfers, startup folks, people great at their job, great at building products and marketing them. But many of them, you know, you get customers asking all these questions about fitting type data, and they didn't really know what to say. But it was interesting going through the fitting and learning this stuff, and even having the fitter saying, you know, he said to me, well, what I'd really recommend is that you do this certain shaft in a regular, but he's like, if you want an S on the shaft, because it's a little bit of a status thing too, right? Like somebody sees your shaft, like, oh, you're a regular. Oh, okay. You must not have very fast swing speed, right? There's a piece of that to it. And he's like, this shaft says stiff, but it's actually the same stiffness as this other brand that says regular. So there's a lot of that in the golf industry and in the whole fitting scenario that is just a little bit silly.
Well, I personally believe and have been promoting this concept the entire time I've been doing the podcast, is that ego is the biggest problem with golf. You know, it's just, hey, we're playing the back tees today. It's like, why?
You know, yeah, I tell you what.
Okay, we'll play the blue tees. Why?
It's, I went like, don't from you a handicap. Fun? Right. I went from a handicap of 27 this year to 13.
Nice.
And you know how I did it?
With sticks golf.
With sticks golf. But I just, when every time I wanted to get better, I just started losing. I started ignoring the higher clubs. So I, by the time I got to a 13, the biggest club I'll swing is a hybrid.
Oh, wow.
Because it just improves how often, you know, I just, for me, with a longer shaft, it's just harder to control. And so I'll get more distance on the 3.5 and driver, but my spray pattern just gets wider and wider with each one. And so I have more recovery shots on that second one. Hybrid, I can hit down the middle 90% of the time, and then I'm just in better shape, even if it's 30 or 50 yards shorter than I could do with a bigger club. So speaking to ego, it's like, hey, just settle down a little bit and you'll probably do better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Club down. Yeah, I mean, hit it in the fairway.
And dispersion is the biggest thing I think that you can learn about when you get fitted for a club. Is that, yeah, that big white head on that driver is really pretty, but is that the right driver for you? Is that where your dispersion is? You know, you want to tighten that thing up. And, again, that 3-wood, I was just so impressed at how accurate it was 98% of the time that I hit it.
Love it.
Off the ground and off the tee.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that club. Right now in the bag, it's hybrid and 3-wood are my big ones. The 5 and the driver, yeah, I keep giving them a shot now and then, and every time I'm like, okay.
No.
I can't control you yet.
I'm really excited about having a 5-wood in my bag. I've never had one. I've always gone with 2 hybrids and 1 wood and the driver. And with your configuration on the 14 club, I'm very excited to try out using a 5-wood. When I started doing this podcast, I came from a sports marketing era for myself, and I had worked with, you know, baseball and football and basketball, the big leagues and the teams. And then I started doing the podcast and started dealing with the golf industry. And I was shocked at how many things about the golf industry that just never even occurred to me. I got to believe that there's been a couple of big surprises for you becoming a golf company not coming from golf?
Probably just the perspectives that we hear, you know, because we're taking an unconventional approach to this thing. So, yeah, I think you're constantly surprised by certain people just I mean, on both sides, I guess, people who will fight for the way that things are, you know, mm-hmm. that'll say, no, you have to have a fitting, you have to use steel shafts, you have to have stiff clubs, like just the strong opinions, versus the people on the other side that are just like, oh my gosh, this finally makes sense. Clubs, mm-hmm. everything I need for $100,000 that look better than everything else. They feel incredible. I get more attention than anybody on the course for my clubs. Like, people can't stop asking about these things. They're so different because they're simple. I mean, I guess that's a surprise. Entering the market, I think there was a little bit of a nervousness that you couldn't convince this market otherwise. And people were just too sold by all the hype that they would never consider that a D2C mid price point, high quality brand would work. Cause you'll still get that tone from a lot of people, you know, and Harry's razors may have experienced the same thing. You know, Gillette's clearly so highly technical and whatever, it justifies the price. You could never do the same thing for half the price. I don't know if they got that from anybody, but it's that same kind of thing. And for a lot of people, they're like, no brainer, I'll buy a razor for half the price. It can't be that complicated.
Well, the idea of keeping it simple, you know, KISS theory, keep it simple, stupid, is something that probably never enters into the golf boardrooms when they're developing product. And by you taking that approach, you're undermining everything they've done for decades and centuries and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, you know, the top brands target the richest 5 million golfers and try to convince them to just re-up every year. That is the game. 30 million golfers in the U.S., the top 5 million richest are targeted by them. The other 25 million are a little bit up for grabs. And they're either, you know, they're left with the starter sets and used or not much else. So I'm hoping, you know, we're not quite at that scale yet, but I'm hoping that we can attract a large portion of that audience of golfers to a different message than, hey, we just made it light years better than last year. When the truth is, every annual, with all the R&D and engineering, the annual difference of all the clubs that come out is never massive. You know, 1%, 2% improvement maybe. Rick Shields did a video using a 3-year-old TaylorMade versus their latest Sim stuff. He picked up 2 yards. So after all the hype and all the cost increases, 2 yards.
Yeah. But is it any more accurate? Who knows? So, you know, it's all
depends on who's swinging it.
Yeah, exactly. So who's your competition right now? Who do you feel is your competition?
The supply chain. actually, yeah, that is partially true. You know, golf's had such a boom that everybody's at capacity. I mean, even all the suppliers are pretty much at capacity. So, but direct competitors, you know, Robin Golf came out around the same time as us. We have similar brand messaging as far as trying to make the game accessible and more attractive to a more diverse audience. I'm not sure how competitive they are on scale at this point. You know, you got companies like Bomb Tech and some other smaller ones that have been around for a longer time. I don't know that anybody's kind of hitting the gas as hard as we are right now.
And there's also the whole direct to consumer.
Yeah.
And bypassing the big box stores and the pro shops and things like that.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? So depends on what you consider a competitor. You can consider new companies competitors, companies aimed at the same market as competitors. Mm-hmm. There's other brands out there, but we do think we're taking a unique approach and, you know, riding this wave of just unprecedented growth in the industry. And I think there's a lot of room for a lot of people to play. You know, I'm out in West Chicago suburbs. You got Sub 70 out here, you got Tour Edge out here. There's a lot of players, but most of them are taking the traditional route. Let's develop a highly technical set of clubs. Let's try to convince people that our tech is better. Let's try to sponsor a tour player that's kind of the approach of most of these companies.
And for Sticks?
And so I think we're different in the sense of saying, hey, let's just get in the hands of casual golfers who want to get out there and have some fun. Let's give them something that looks great and performs well, and don't compete on all the hype and don't try to get in tour players' hands, because that's not what it's about. We're about golf is fun, and it should be approachable for normal people. And people without $3,000 in their budget for clubs should be able to have a really nice, high quality set.
Okay. I had promoted that we were going to talk about it, and I'm still promoting that we're going to talk about the various sets and the various clubs, because I want to break down each one, and we're going to do that after this last break. Let's hear what's going to happen on Golf Smarter Mulligans this week. Well, thanks for that intro, Fred. This week on Golf Smarter Mulligans, episode 129 is part two with our own golf sensei, Jamie Zimron, as we follow up and break down the full content of Bliss Golf. So if you want to make your golf club your health club, make sure you listen to last week's episode of Golf Smarter Mulligans, and then check out this week's episode 129.
If you think about fear, if I was to go 1, 2, 3, boo, right? You get afraid. When you get afraid, you instantly suck in your breath and you go up. So you go up, you stop breathing, your muscles tighten, and your brain goes on tilt. So that up action actually puts us into even more fear. And if we started out a little anxious about a shot, we get downright afraid in the middle of it, if sure. not panicked by going and lifting up. Yeah. It also carries you physically away from the golf ball, and it's difficult to get back to the golf ball. But when you breathe, exhale, go down into your center, get down into your legs and your feet and your base and your stability and all of that, it's much more difficult to be afraid, and it's much easier to be confident.
That's episode 129 of Golf Smarter Mulligans, being released this Friday. Both Golf Smarter and Golf Smarter Mulligans are available from wherever you're listening to this podcast right now. That's two episodes of Golf Smarter each week. Please write a review, subscribe, and follow both of our golf podcasts so that you can download or stream the brand new episode when it becomes available on your favorite listening device. Let's break down what you have that you guys sell. And I want to start, actually, because I can't wait to see it, with your putter. Tell me about the design of your putter, why you decided on what you did, and how many options are available for that.
Yeah, the only options are going to be height. And we decided on a mallet putter, same way we decided about everything else we did, which was what's most accessible to the broadest group, what's the most forgiving. And so we decided on a heavy mallet header and a nice thick grip is what the market research and our team liked. And we did a milled face, because that's another one of these things that's like kind of a hyped feature that isn't super expensive to do. It's, you know, it's something that's usually done on the higher end clubs, but it's not crazy expensive to do. So we do a nice milled face on the putter, right? We're all about simplicity and minimalism. So I would love a putter where the shaft just goes straight into the head, like right in the middle, very, very simple. But the research shows that that's not the easiest and most forgiving version of a putter connection. So we went with what broadly makes it easier for people, makes it more accessible.
Right. I'm a center shafted kind of guy. I always have been. I don't like the shaft in the heel, because the club face turns for me, but that's me. And when you said the difference is height, is it just a standard height based on the person who's ordering it? Or do you?
Yeah. So we don't really sell the putter individually right now. We may open that back up in the future, but when it comes as part of a set, and we sell in everything from +1 to -1 inches on our set. So the putter is configured to match the height of the set.
And did you utilize a different designer for your putter versus your wedges and irons, and are all the same club designer?
Yeah, same designer. One of our co-founders, Kyle Buzzard, is a world-class industrial designer. who was the lead on designing the first Chromecast. So he's designed all kinds of products over time. He's not a club designer historically. This is the first time he's designed clubs. And then we work with a more technical engineer in our supply chain to make sure that all the centers of gravity and lofts and lies and all that stuff is right. But he drives the aesthetic design.
Okay. All right. Let's move to the wedges. Let's talk about your wedges. What comes in? What do you offer? What do you provide in the various sets? And why?
Yeah. So in the first set we ever did, a year ago, it was just a sand wedge that we offered. And this is where people said, hey, I'd love to see a wedge set. I'd love to have a 14-piece set where I get a gap and a lob. A lot of people felt that missing the gap wedge, and I agree, I've found a lot of use for my gap wedge now that I've got it. I never had one before. I had had a 60 that I had bought individually in my early set, and I loved the 60. So I always wanted a stick 60, but we got feedback early on, like, that club's too hard to hit for the normal person. Don't make a 60. But I've always loved the 60. So yeah, we got the user feedback that said, man, it's a big gap between my pitch and my sand wedge. I'm missing like a 40, 50 yard gap here. I'd love a 52. And then a lot of people saying, hey, I just love a 3-piece wedge set. So as with everything, we gave the people what they wanted, and we worked with our designer and our manufacturers to put together a really nice set, black on black on black, like everything else, milled face. You get the 52, the 56, and the 60, which is kind of your standard wedge set that you see.
Right. And do you do anything concern yourself with the bounce, like for the sand wedge, for the, what, the 56?
We've got some mixed opinions. People get real particular about this. We worked with, again, our engineer and our supply chain. He had some specific suggestions about it. Our internal R&D team agreed with those. We went with it. And now we're getting feedback from other people. We had a guy reach out from New York who runs a indoor driving range. And he's like, oh man, the perfect bounce that you need on this 56 is something else. And we ran him by the team, and everybody had a bunch of opinions. So I don't even know offhand the exact bounce of all the different clubs, but we think we've made a good choice, and we've run it by, a lot of people with a lot of experience.
Right.
All the numbers are on the site if people want the specific numbers.
Right. So it's just the 52, 56, 60, people can't, if they want to get more intense and want a 57 and a 49 and things like that, that's just not part of this package.
That's not the market
you're going after.
Yeah. I saw recently, we try to keep things simple.
Right.
And I saw this year somebody came out with, announced their wedges. And I think they had maybe 9 different lofts, and each one had like 3 different bounce options. And I posted the link to our team, and I was like, I don't even know which, like, that's paralysis by analysis. How am I supposed to pick my wedge set? Now I've got 9 different lofts, all these different bounces. How the heck am I supposed to choose? And that's the difference. Those guys are aimed at somebody who's highly technical, highly experienced, maybe a scratch golfer. And we don't want to do that to our audience. We want to simplify the buying process. You want a wedge set? Here you go. Just trust that we made some good choices. Because even for me, I don't know. I'm trusting my R&D team and supply chain engineers to know better than I do the perfect bounce and loft of all these things. So that's what we're, I think that's what retailers and brands have done forever. Do I know the exact like inseam and waist and the seam stitch, thickness on all my jeans? No, I pick a brand I like. I trust that they made a lot of good decisions along the way, and I'm not going to get that highly technical about it.
And you'll get stretch pants. in all the teachers that I've talked to and all the people that I've talked to about golf and over the years, I think that you're going to find a lot of higher handicap golfers that may be happier than the scratch golfers. So let them drive themselves crazy. You know, just let's go out and have a good time and don't worry about it. And I think that's your target, and that makes total sense to me. Irons. I want to go over the irons now. And you go from a 9-iron, I suppose, or?
We go from 5 to pitch.
5 to pitch? So your pitch is what, a 50? What's your degree on your pitch? Says we start with a 52. So is that?
I'm gonna have to look it up. You're asking me all these loft questions. Give me a sec.
I'm sorry.
Pull it up on the site. It's all good. I just gotta get my reference material here. Iron set, lofts and lies.
It's all on your website. See. That's good to know. Sticks.golf. STIX.golf. Sticks.golf.
All right. So the 5-iron is a 22.
Mm-hmm.
6-iron's a 25, 7-iron's a 28, 8-iron's a 33, 9-iron's a 39, pitching wedge is a 45.
Interesting. And then instead of, so going from a 5-iron, then you have a hybrid, which I think is you don't need a 4-iron, you don't need a 3-iron, you don't need a 2-iron. I think it's a great place to stop.
Yeah, again, you know, trying to make something appealing and accessible to the masses, it was a design decision of, you know, everybody, when people a la carte their sets together, there's all kinds of things you can do, but what clubs do people want? So we settled on 1 driver, 3 distance clubs, 2 woods and a hybrid. So you got 3 there, you got 6 irons, 3 wedges, and a putter.
And then the that 2 woods are a 3 wood and a 5 wood, right?
19 degrees and 16 degrees on the woods, 21 on the hybrid, drivers at 10.
Wow. Again, I was just so happy because I get a little anxious about playing with clubs I've never played before. And you've opened my eyes to the world that that's okay. As a matter of fact, while we're publishing this show, I'm on vacation and I'm going to play a TPC course and I'm not taking my clubs, which was a huge decision. My wife was like, "You're not?" It's like, just not going to drag them around for one round this time. I'm interested because I know that they rent out Callaways, which I'd be comfortable with, and they rent out the PXGs, which I've never played and I've always been curious about. But you made it so I'm comfortable not taking my sticks after playing that could have spoiled me completely. Playing with those clubs, but I'm really impressed with your product, man. That's just the bottom line to all this. I really, really am impressed and hope people seriously consider if they're shopping for a new set of clubs, whether for themselves or if their friend's looking for it or as a gift, or you want to have a second. See, now to me, we see different things. I see it as having a second set of clubs around for when people come to visit. Hey, you want to go play golf? Sure, but I didn't bring my clubs. Don't worry about it. We've got
totally.
You covered. You know,
totally. Yeah. Yeah. We've looked at selling them to Airbnb hosts too, so they can just have them on site. So when you travel, you don't have to drag yours.
Brilliant. Airbnb hosts. What a great idea. That's awesome. That's good.
Because it is, it's a price point that's reasonable and it would be a value mm-hmm. add to those hosts that, yeah, you know how much of a pain it is to drag your clubs through an airport. Not to mention, you know, if it's a short trip, you know, and you didn't plan on checking anything, now you got to check stuff because you got the golf clubs. I actually missed a flight once because I had my I had my golf clubs and I was there in time to get on, but I was too late to check my bag. So I had to miss my flight, which in hindsight, that costed more than the clubs. But
yeah,
I didn't figure that out in time.
And my unfortunate experience of having the airline, the baggage handlers kind of like went home with my clubs and they never showed up again.
No.
And I only accuse the airline of that because after 3 months on the phone with this one rep from the airline, they said, wait, you flying into Vegas? I went, yeah. And he goes, oh, the baggage handlers probably took him home. It's like, oh, great. Thank you. Glad you're telling me now.
Jeez.
Traveling with clubs. It's always a crapshoot. Anyway, sticks.golf, STIX.golf. And one of the other cool parts about it, the logo is awesome. So it's the type of thing you would wear the hat. You'd have it on the bag. It's, you know, people wear Titleist on all their hats. And it's like, you really play a Titleist ball? No, I like the look. It's like, stop it. It's crazy. So if you're gonna wear a brand, people are going to ask you, Styx, what's that? So congratulations, man. Really excited for you. And thanks so much for coming back on the show.
Thank you, Fred.
Now, the easiest way to find Styx Golf is by clicking on their ad at golfsmarter.com. And here's why I'm going to say that. Because of all the products that I have featured on this podcast, Styx is the only company that I'm an actual affiliate for because I really believe in these clubs. So if you're interested in more, please let them know that you heard about them on Golf Smarter by clicking on the link on our website. And I'll include a link in today's blog post and show notes as well. Thanks for checking them out. Golf Smarter is your podcast for Caddy. And like Caddies, we graciously accept any and all tips for these services provided. The tip jar is now open. Just click on donate at golfsmarter.com.